Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You can turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. I'm going to start reading verse 1. It says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt." I'm going to ask Brother Robert, would you please pray for us this morning?
Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, that you've given us a safe place to meet, Lord, in your word,
amen,
and preach, Lord. We just ask that you would bless our ears, Lord, with what we preach with this morning.
Yes, amen. 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 So, Israel is being confronted with the Assyrian army, and the Assyrian army is powerful. The Assyrian army is one that is dominating everything around them. I mean, even whenever they sent messengers to put fear in them, they were saying, "What could the gods of anybody else do? Nobody could rescue themselves, and we're going to take over. We're going to conquer." And so Israel is full of fear. Israel, I mean, they are afraid of the Assyrian army. And you know, it's a good thing to know that you're in trouble. It's a good thing to know when you're in trouble, and it's a good thing to know that you need help. It's a sad thing that a lot of people don't know that they need help. A lot of people just are living life, and they're just oblivious to the dangers that are around them. They're oblivious to the real judgment that's coming, and they don't realize they need help. Well, Israel knew they needed help. Israel knew they were in trouble. And so, you know, points for them, right? But look at what happens. They don't put their trust in the Lord. They don't seek the Lord. They're not looking for the Lord to trust in Him. They're not looking for help in the Lord. And that was a mistake. That was an error. That was a sin. It is a sin not to seek the Lord for help. It's a sin not to look for God when you need somebody to trust. It's a sin not to seek for God. And that's their first mistake, you could say. That's their first error. And you know, there's a lot of people that today, they might know that they do need help. There's a lot of people that are in religion because they need help. They know they need somebody. They need something to save them. They know they're sinners. They know judgment's coming, but they're just not trusting in God.
Yeah.
And that's a mistake. The only place you're going to find rescue, the only place you're going to find salvation is in the Lord. And there's no other one. And so it is a mistake. It is an error not to trust in the Lord. But then it seems like they made another mistake. Not only did they not trust in the Lord, but they actually sought rescue. They sought salvation in somebody other than the Lord. And you could say that that is what he's talking about when he says that they may add sin to sin. Not only are they not looking and trusting in the Lord, but then they're going to somebody else and trusting in them. These people that have been rescued by God many times before, they know the hand of the Lord is strong for salvation and mighty, but they don't trust in the Lord, and then they go to somebody else to seek trust in them. They go to Egypt and seek trust in Egypt. They seek salvation from Egypt. And that, you could say, is that they're adding sin to sin. Amen. And you know, not only is it that people aren't trusting in the Lord, but people are actually trusting in others rather than the Lord. This is a real danger in religion that's man-made, religion that's focused on others than just Jesus Christ. Because listen, if you're trusting in anybody else other than Jesus Christ for your salvation, it is a mistake. Yeah. It is an error. And there is no salvation coming other than in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, this is what their problem was. They were in trouble, and yet they sought salvation in Egypt. Really? Let me continue reading there. It says in verse 3, "Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be an help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach." They were seeking help from a people that didn't even care about them. I mean, they were actually looking for help from somebody that could care less what happened to them. That actually left them to die. They didn't care about them. They didn't come to their rescue, but this is who they decided to trust in. Verse 6 says, "The burden of the beasts of the south," right? This is the vision. This is the burden that he has for the beasts of the south into the land of trouble and anguish. "From whence come the young and old lion, the viper and fiery flying serpent? They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses and their treasures upon the bunches of camels to a people that shall not profit them." What are they doing? They're sending all their money. They're sending their money. They're putting it on donkeys, sending it off to Egypt saying, "Rescue us, rescue us. The burden of the beast. The beasts are carrying all these things down there." And it's all in waste. It's all in vain because they're sending all their money to Egypt saying, "Egypt, help us, help us." And it's all in vain because it's no profit. Egypt will not come and rescue them. How sad. How sad. "For the Egyptians shall help in vain." That's what it says in verse 7. "And to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still." The strength of Egypt was nothing. It did not help them at all. Yet that's who they trusted in. And you have to ask why. Why? Why were they putting their trust in Egypt? Why, when they knew the power and might of God, why, when they knew who they could trust in, why did they go and trust in Egypt? Well, the other way I see this, and this I think fits more in line with what the passage is telling us, is when he says there that they may add sin to sin, I believe what he's saying is, you were seeking a covering not for me. You went to look for help, but not for me. You were trusting in somebody, but it was not in me. I think he's saying because you wanted to add sin to sin, he's saying because you wanted to continue living in your sin.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
That's the reason you did not come to me. Here I am. I can save you. Here I am. I can care for you. Here I am. I can protect you from the army that's coming. But you would not come to me. You would rather take your riches and go to Egypt and try to find them as your salvation just because you want to continue in your sin.
Right.
That's the real reason they didn't turn to God. Because they wanted to continue in their sin. Woe to the rebellious. And that's what he calls them. The rebellious children, saith the Lord. Because they're taking counsel, but they're not taking it of him. They're covering with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. They want to continue in their sin. And I want to again remind you, this is a mistake.
Amen.
Listen, there's a lot of things that are keeping people from coming to God. And what's keeping a lot of people from coming to God is their sin.
Yes.
They just love their sin. If you today are having to decide whether to continue in your sin, continue in that thing that you enjoy, that you love doing, but God is saying, if you come to me, you're going to have to leave it. Listen, that's the best decision you can make. You should be willing to give up anything to come to God. He has the ability to rescue. He will save you, but he does require you to give up some things. And you have to be willing to give those up to come to him. And this is why they were not wanting to come to God for rescue, because they wanted to continue living in their sin. And that was a sad thing. And if that's what you're doing today, then that's a mistake. I would counsel you to repent of your sin and to come to the Lord and be saved. Now, the people that they turned to, they didn't even care about them. And the money that they sent, I mean, it wasn't enough. They couldn't even help them. And yet, again, we see this, that if you are not willing to turn to God and just give up your sin, give up what you have, and come to God, you're going to try to find ways to appease your mind. You're going to find ways to make yourself feel better. And so you're going to find religion. You're going to find other things to trust in that will give you a sense of security, but it's not security. There's so many people trusting in idols, trusting in saints, trusting in other things, and these things cannot save you.
Amen.
Even though they give you a sense of security, they are not your salvation.
Amen.
And you've got to come to the realization that they cannot help you. You need to turn to God.
Amen.
Now let's turn to verse 8. And that's where I'm going to be speaking on. He says, now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. He wants this written down. I want you to take note of this. Verse 9, that this is a rebellious people,
amen,
lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things.
Right.
Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Yeah. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us.
Yeah.
And he tells them, you're a rebellious people. They are a rebellious people, and he wants it written down. He says, write this down. I want it to be written down forevermore. I want it to be in stone. I want everybody to be able to know that this is a rebellious people. What are they doing? They are lying children. They're lying to themselves. And that's what I think, that's what my message would be today. Stop lying to yourself. Stop lying to yourself. They are desiring the seers and the prophets. You see, the great thing about when God saw destruction coming for Israel, the great thing was God always, always sent warning of judgment. He always reached out, extended his hand, extended his arm of salvation, calling to them to repentance. He would send prophet after prophet and seer after seer, and he would tell them, repent, repent of your sin, come back to the Lord. He gave them opportunity after opportunity. He offered it to them.
Amen.
But this was a rebellious people. And in their rebellion, they did not want to repent of their sin. They wanted to continue in their sin. They wanted to add sin to sin, and they just wanted to continue in it. And so they rejected what the prophets were saying. They rejected what the seers were telling them. They rejected the word of the Lord. They would not hear the instruction of God. They would not hear what he had to say, what he wanted from them. And so they would tell the seers, see not. they would tell the prophets, don't prophesy right things. Stop telling us about these right ways. Stop telling us about these right paths for our feet. Stop telling us about the law of God and what he wants from us. Stop telling us these things. These hard sayings. You're telling us that we have to stop this and we have to stop that. We don't want to hear that anymore. And these rebellious children were saying, no, speak unto us smooth things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. They wanted the prophets to say something that they wanted to hear. And they were willing to let the prophets just lie. Just lie to us. We don't want to hear all that other stuff that you've got to tell us. We don't want to hear from the Lord. We want to hear what we like to hear. And that's a dangerous place to be.
Amen.
That's a very dangerous place to be. And this is where I think a lot of people have gotten today. A lot of people today, we do not want to hear what's hard to hear. We don't want to hear the Word of God directly, right, openly. We don't want to hear the Word of God as it is, because the Word of God hurts. It actually hurts, and it hurts every single one of us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Nobody escapes.
Amen.
Not one of us,
Amen.
Not one of us is comfortable with everything God is telling us.
Amen.
Not every one of us likes what God wants us to give up, because every single one of us wants to do something that God doesn't want us to do, and we have to face that.
Yeah.
So it'd be a lot easier for us to just say, oh, just speak easy things for us to hear.
Yeah.
And the sad thing, and I don't think it's everywhere, but I think it's a lot. I think that there's a lot of preachers, a lot of churches that are giving in to what people want to hear.
Yeah.
Instead of preaching what God has to say.
Yeah.
And we have to be careful, because it's easy to fall into that rut where, oh, I want people to like me. I want people to like what we have to say. We want people to come. So let's just make the things that we say easier for them to hear. But that's not what God wanted.
Amen.
That's not what God was asking. God was saying, I have a word for y'all, and I expect y'all to hear it. And if y'all don't hear it, then you're just a rebellious child.
Mm.
And so it is the preacher's job to preach the word of God.
Amen.
It is not the preacher's job to please the people.
Right.
The preacher, yes, he should comfort the afflicted. But the preacher should also afflict the comfortable. And that's what happens. That's what's going to happen with when you preach the word of God. It's going to afflict those that are comfortable. When we're comfortable in our sin, and we get to that, we get in this stage of our life where there's things that we just do, and it just does not bother us anymore. And somebody has to come by and say, hey, that's wrong. You need to change. God does not like that.
Amen.
It has to happen. This is what God wants.
Amen.
And it's not comfortable. None of us like it. You know, a lot of people say, well, why do you have to preach that? Well, why do you have to mention this? Well, why do you have to say that? Well, guess what? Join the club. This is what it's about.
Right.
You're going to hear something that you don't like,
right,
because your flesh doesn't like what God has to say.
Right.
Amen.
But coming to church isn't about just seeking comfort. Coming to church isn't just about feeling good. That's not the ultimate goal. It's about finding out what God wants, and we want to adjust our life according
Amen.
To that.
Amen.
That is the Christian life. The Christian life is not about hearing what feels good to us. The Christian life is not about, oh, I get saved, and therefore after I'm saved, I can do whatever I want. This is somehow what the interpretation of a Christian life sounds to many Christians. Oh, I got saved, so I'm free. I can do whatever I want. No, that is not the definition of a Christian life. Let's find the definition of a Christian life. Let's just turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. I'll read one verse in verse 24. Prophesy smooth things, right? Tell us easy things. So this isn't what Paul said. Paul said, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now that doesn't sound easy. He says the Christians. He says you're a Christian. This is what a Christian is. They that are Christ's, they've crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You have crucified the flesh. Yourself. You are crucified. That's a Christian.
That's right.
That means you're not governed by your will anymore. That means you're not driven by your desire anymore. The things that you want, that's not what matters anymore. It's what God wants and His will. That's what governs your life. That is what a Christian life should look like. And that's not easy. And that's not something that's easy to hear. But this is what God is is telling us to do. This is what God wants. He wants His will done in our life.
Right.
And this is what a Christian should want also. A Christian should want God's will done in our life.
Amen.
But that does not mean it's easy. These are hard things to hear. And that's why we need to look at this example that we have of the rebellious children, and we need to say and decide, we're not going to have that same attitude.
Right.
Lord, if you're telling us some hard things to hear, we don't want to shut the door. We don't want to close the window. We don't want to turn the volume down. We want to be willing to hear what you have to say, consider it, and really change our life,
Amen.
Ourselves,
Amen.
Not change the message.
Yeah.
And there are some hard things to hear, but God wants us to hear it. You see, God's message for the Christian is you to be holy. Like He is holy.
Amen.
He does want your sanctification. He wants you to be more like Him every day.
Amen.
But that means you crucify yourself.
Yeah.
That means you're dying to yourself daily.
Amen.
That means you are picking up your cross and following after Him. You see how hard this sounds? Yes, it's really hard. There's things that He doesn't want you to do, and you have to hear those hard things, and you have to decide whether you're going to continue in them or not.
Yeah.
See, He doesn't want drunkards.
That's right.
He doesn't want people professing themselves as Christians to be drunkards.
Amen.
That's hard to hear. Yes, it is hard to hear, but that's what God wants. He doesn't want you to call yourself a brother, and then you're just living full of drinking alcohol all the time and getting drunk. That is not the life of a Christian. That is not what God wants for you. And you need to change that.
Amen.
God says, flee from idolatry. That's what the New Testament says. Flee from idolatry. You see, for some reason, some people just want to continue in idolatry and think that they're fine because it feels good. All the idolatry stuff, it feels good. It looks nice. But God says, flee idolatry. Flee, run from it. And I know some people, some in here, even you might have necklaces that have a crucifix, or you have a crucifix on your car and stuff like that. And you know, that's all your decision. But I'll tell you right now, He said, flee from idolatry.
Amen.
Amen.
And we need to be careful what we play around with.
Yeah.
He also says, flee fornication.
Yeah.
Run from it. And I think we all need to take a hard look into our life. What things are actually not fleeing from idolatry and fleeing from fornication, but are playing with it?
Amen.
A lot of the stuff you have on your phone may be playing with fornication, not fleeing from it.
Yeah.
And it's dangerous. And you might just need to run from that. You might just need to delete some things, cancel some things. You might just have to get a flip phone. I don't know what you need, but you need to flee from fornication. That's what He says. Now, this is not what our flesh wants. Again, this is going to be opposite, right? Like we were saying, our flesh is kind of like an antichrist. Our flesh wants one thing. God wants another thing. And so it's not easy for our flesh to hear these things. It's not easy for our flesh to hear the things that God wants us to abstain from and stay away from.
Yeah.
How about bitterness?
Yeah.
And unforgiveness?
Yeah.
You know, it's a good thing to come to the meetings, because guess what? And in the meetings, we want preachers, we want the Bible to be read and taught so that we can hear that we need to be forgiving.
Right.
And it's amazing how we a lot of times just like to for some reason comfort each other. And so somebody comes with a complaint and, oh, they did this and they did that, and we just want a baby. Oh, I'm sorry. They're always hurting you. They're always doing this to you, and they're always doing that to you. And you know, there comes a time where you just got to say, hey, I know you've gotten hurt. I know you've been done wrong, but forgive them.
Amen.
Give it over. Give it up. Stop having bitterness among yourselves.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
And we don't all have the same problems. You may be so easily inclined to forgive somebody, but you struggle with pornography. And so your struggle might be different than somebody else's. But this is why the Word of God is abundantly clear in so many things that He's got something for every single one of us. How about such things so simple as gossip?
Right, yeah.
Those are hard things to hear. Somebody has to tell you, hey, stop your gossiping.
Amen.
Stop. Stop being such a busybody. Stop being such a nosy person, always getting yourself into other people's business.
Hallelujah.
Some people need to hear that. And you know, I say it all the time, there's a fine line between a caring person and a gossiping person. There's a fine line. You think you're all caring about somebody else where you're just probably wanting to know everything about them. And you gotta be careful with that. It's interesting, Peter puts it in the same list as murderers and thieves. He says, let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as a busybody. There's some hard things you need to hear. And you need to decide, what are you going to do? Are you going to continue in that? I tell you, there's a lot of people not wanting to hear. They do not want to hear anything preached against homosexuality anymore. They don't want to hear it. This is something that's coming up more and more. Please, don't say it anymore. Don't mention it. Don't bring it up. We don't want to hear it. But guess what? God's got an opinion on it, and that is sin. It's wrong. It's against God, and it needs to be said. And if you don't want to hear it, and if you reject it, that just means you are being rebellious to the Word of God. We could even mention gluttony. But we'll just say that once and later. Telling you, there's a lot that God has to say. And there's a lot that you need to learn. There's a lot that you need to look into, and you need to decide whether you're wanting to actually hear what God wants to say, or if you just want to hear what you want to hear.
Amen.
And you're so easily motivated to see and point out everybody else's problems, but you don't want to hear anything that God has to say about yourself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got to be careful with that.
Amen.
Christ says, don't be like that.
Right.
Stop trying to take everything else out that's in other people's eyes and fixing them. First look at what you've got in your own eye.
There it is. Amen.
Fix yourself.
Amen.
And you know, I could mention Christmas also. That's something that people don't like to hear about, right? But see that, and it's not even that difficult. Listen, Christmas has a mixture of a lot of things that God just does not like.
Amen.
There's a whole lot of lies that are mixed up in Christmas.
Amen.
And God hates lying.
That's right.
I mean, He abhors, He hates lying. In a list of 7 things that Proverbs says that God hates, lying is in there twice.
Thank you, Lord.
It's also involved with, mixed up with a lot of covetousness.
Amen.
This is not something that God liked. God does not like it.
Amen.
And there's such a mixture there that I would just counsel you, hey, look into that.
Yeah.
Consider, don't consider what your flesh likes.
Come on.
Don't consider what your flesh wants. Because again, I know it's hard. Listen, this is hard for everybody.
Amen.
Your flesh wants one thing, but we have to ask, is this what God wants? That's what the Christian life is about.
Amen.
And if we're willing to hear God, then that's what we're supposed to be about.
Yeah.
Stealing. Being a thief.
Amen.
These are things that we have to fight. How about anger?
Right. Amen.
You know, you should have control over your own spirit.
Amen.
You should not lose your temper and just blow up all the time. This is not godly.
Amen.
This is not what God wants. God wants you to be temperate and in control.
Amen.
And lusting all the time. You should not be looking at women to lust after them in your heart.
Amen.
Now I'll tell you, that's probably hard for every single man in this room. but you need to hear it.
Amen.
And there needs to be preachers that say it.
Amen.
There needs to be a church that's going to repeat it. There needs to be somebody that's going to read the Bible and tell you things that you do not want to hear.
Amen.
Things that are hard for you to hear. There needs to be somebody that stands up and preaches
Amen.
The word.
Amen.
Even when there's so many that are saying, we don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
We don't want to hear that. Please don't say those things.
Mm-hmm.
Speak unto us things that are smooth and easy to hear. Now that wasn't just in Isaiah's time. So we go to 2 Timothy and you turn to 2 Timothy and listen, this seems like it's exactly the same thing going on in these last times. In our days, this is what's going on. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. He says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. We don't want to hear the truth. We don't want to hear these things. We want to hear something smooth and soft and easy to hear. We don't want to hear those words. That's what Paul says. See, this is something that goes generation through generation, and it goes all the way down. You read what happened in 1 Kings to this people. It says they did the same thing that their fathers did. They rejected the word of the Lord. They did not want to hear it. They did not want to turn from their ways. And they wanted to continue sinning.
That's right. Yeah.
And the same thing is happening today.
Right.
And you have the same fight within you today.
Amen.
The Lord has some things for you to hear that you don't want to hear. That are hard for you to hear.
Yeah.
That strike us in a hard way. We don't want to have to fight this. But God wants something.
Amen.
And so God has words for all of us. God has desires for all of us. And He does not want Christians to be self-willed.
Mm.
That's so interesting to me.
Yeah.
He doesn't want Christians to be self-willed.
Mm.
He wants Christians to do the will of God.
Amen.
Put God's will. That's what I want to do. That's what He's looking for. And when we're rebellious, we get to the point where we're deciding we want to shut off God's word and we want to follow our heart. We want to follow our desires. We want to follow our flesh. And this is rebellion.
It is.
To the point where look at what He says in verse 11. They're saying these things. They're telling the prophets. They're saying, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. They're telling the prophets, get you out of the way. Leave us alone. That's what they're telling the prophets. Leave us alone. Turn aside out of the path. And they say, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us.
Wow.
Get God out of the picture. Move Him out. We don't want to hear about Him anymore. Be careful with your rebellion. Because rebellion will cause you to forsake God. To go, to abandon Him. To get Him out of your mind. Where you just want to put Him away. Because you want to what? Add sin to sin. Just because you want to continue in your sin. And your rebellion will lead you there. But like I said, the great thing about our Lord is that He is long-suffering.
Amen.
He is merciful.
Yes, He is.
And He is continually stretching out His arm. And His ears are there, ready for you to come back to Him.
Thank you, Lord.
Amazing. Verse 15 says, for thus saith the Lord, in Isaiah chapter 30, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not. He's continuing saying, come back to Me. Just rest in Me. Just trust in Me. I will take care of you.
Amen.
and you still wouldn't. You still wouldn't. You still wouldn't come back to me. And you know, you can be rebellious. And you can be saying, in your life, you can be saying, Lord, I don't want you. Lord, I don't want to hear that again. Lord, I'm going to continue doing what I want my way. And yet God can still be calling out to you today, saying, I'm offering you to just give it up and come to me. And I will forgive. I will save. I will take care of you. It's amazing. God's long-suffering. He's still giving us that opportunity. Today. He did it for them. Listen, when he did this in Isaiah chapter 30, guess what he was talking about? The Assyrians. And he was telling the Assyrians, he told them, therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore he will be exalted. Listen, guess what he did to the Assyrians? When finally Israel did, Judah did decide to trust in God, when Hezekiah finally put his trust in God, guess what happened? God destroyed the Assyrians.
Amen.
One angel, one night, 185,000 men died.
Yeah.
They woke up and they were dead.
Amen.
And that Assyrian army fled. And that king that thought he was so powerful was worshiping in his idol temple and got killed by his own son. God took care of them. God rescued them.
Amen.
Why were they rebellious for so long?
Amen.
Well, it's recorded. But the question comes to us, why are we rebellious for so long?
Amen.
Why do we continue to do the same thing? When God is telling us clearly, hey, don't do this. Hey, stop doing this. Hey, come this way. Hey, follow me. Hey, this is my will. And we just keep saying, well, later. Why not? Not right now. I want to do something. I got my desires. I got my things. And we're putting the Lord off. We're saying, not right now. And God is still reaching out saying, come on.
Amen. Thank
you. Today I would say, let's stop being rebellious against the Lord.
Yeah.
And let's stop lying to ourselves. Let's stop trying to change God's message and change God's words to be things that soothe us and to make us feel good.
Amen.
About ourselves and our sin. That is not what God's
Amen.
Word is doing. God's word is not trying to get you to feel comfortable in your sin. Never. That is not what God's word is trying to do. He is not trying to get you to feel comfortable living in fornication.
Right.
And anybody that's preaching that way is not preaching God's word.
Right. That's right.
God is not comfortable with your sin.
That's right.
He wants you to repent.
Amen.
That is His desire. And we have to change our will to conform to His will.
Amen.
That's the Christian life.
Amen.
And so that's the exhortation today. And it's amazing that God is still offering repentance and salvation even after we have been in
Amen.
Rebellion for years.
Amen.
He still offers it.
Amen.
And if you've been rebelling against God, then He's offering salvation to you today.
Yes.
Just repent.
Amen.
Repent of your sin. Be willing to let that go. Give it up. Stop adding sin to sin. Stop wanting to live with sin. Don't worry about that. Give that up. Give yourself up. And come to Jesus Christ and He'll save you
Amen.
From your sin. That's what God wants to do.
Amen.
We're going to go ahead and bow for a word of prayer and dismiss. Lord Jesus, we come before You today. And Lord, we're full of sin, our flesh. Lord, we're weak. Lord, we want to ask for forgiveness, Lord.
Amen.
We come in repentance asking You to forgive us of our sin,
Amen.
Lord. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for being clear. We thank You for giving us direction and guidance. And we ask, Lord, that we would be receptive, Lord. We ask
Amen.
That we would be able to follow You the rest of our days. We ask, Lord, that You would move upon us with Your Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we come here with that one thing in mind, we want You to guide us.
Amen.
We want You to be with us, Lord. And so we ask, Lord, that You would be with every single one of us as we continue out our day and our week. Lord, wherever we have faults and errors, wherever we make our mistakes and wherever we're in plain rebellion, Lord, treat us as children and correct us. Lord, show us the error of our ways and reach out to us, Lord. We ask that you would guide us. Lord Jesus, if there's anybody that has gone out in rebellion and just has completely disregarded you and completely given you up and away, Lord, I ask that you would reach out to them, Lord, through whatever means necessary. I pray that you would touch their hearts, confront them with their sin, and I pray that you'd give them a heart that would be willing to accept, and that they would repent of their sin and come back to you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the salvation that you offer us in your blood. We thank you for loving us and dying for us. And we ask that you would have your will done in our life for the rest of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We'll be here tonight at 7:00.